On the line now, an angry old white guy. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Craig and Matt.
CanadianThinker.com.
How are we, Freddie?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm not an angry middle-aged white guy.
No, but that seems to be what's upsetting you these days when people refer to you or others that way.
Well, that's right. No, it's just the term. Angry middle-aged white guy. It just seems to be a term that's thrown around quite freely nowadays, and I just don't think it's fair.
Why?
Because, you know, it's that whole double standard thing and that whole idea that sometimes the only racists are white people.
Right, yeah, so.
Uh-huh. Which isn't fair. I mean, you know, there are racists in all races. There just is, and it just seems that term now, angry middle-aged white guy, is just thrown around often to stop debate or opinion. And it's used in, quite freely, and what bothers me, accept it as a term where you couldn't substitute white for another race and have it accepted as freely. That's my problem. It's just, no. you know, we're in a society nowadays where everyone, obviously, well, everyone has always been equal, but I think we're in an era now where, you know, everybody should be treated exactly the same. I think that's fabulous. I subscribe to that. That's the way it should be. All races living in harmony, so we shouldn't pick on one.
Well, as you say on your blog, would it be acceptable to use the term angry middle-aged black guy? It's a flat-out no, and
no.
I agree.
Because you would be distinguishing races, and
yeah.
That's not a good thing to do in this day and age. We've evolved to the point now where it doesn't matter what your race is. It's the human being that you are, regardless of your race, your religion, your creed. It doesn't matter. So why in this day and age, when we've come so far for equality, is it all right to distinguish a white guy?
You know, Fred, I think we know the answer, but it's simply because there is a belief that Freddie, as a middle-aged white guy, you've had it easy all along.
I know, but as I say in CanadianThinker.com as well, okay, but why play catch-up? What's that all about?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, I've often heard that, you know, white people can be criticized or they can be distinguished from other races because they've been in control so long, or we've been in control so long and have suppressed so many other races around the globe for so long. Hey, granted, I know some lousy crap happened, no doubt about it, but it doesn't make it acceptable today to sort of retroactively strike back.
I think it's also the image you get from that, too. And, you know, when I hear the term angry middle-aged white guy, I think of an overweight dude living out in the burbs with his manicured lawn and his intolerance and of other people and his homophobia. And it completely paints a negative stereotype.
Absolutely. And let's be clear. Just as often as not, it's white people calling other white people angry middle-aged white guys.
Uh-huh.
You know, the bleeding heart do-gooder super liberal people who, the minute you have an opinion to shut you down, they either call you a racist or an angry middle-aged white guy, which, in essence, is calling you a racist. It's happened to me many times. Nothing can shut down debate quicker than the big R word.
Sure.
And this is just a variance of it. It's interesting. As I say, I don't consider myself an angry middle-aged white guy. I guess nobody would actually consider themselves that. It's the term that bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
Uh-huh. CanadianThinker.com, a place that we go to, Freddie, to find out what you're thinking. We want your thoughts on this topic. We've been discussing this. Mike Ilitch, it's reported, is very close to signing a deal to owning the Detroit Pistons. That'd make him the only sports owner in America to own three sports franchises in the same city. He would basically have a monopoly on sports and entertainment in the city of Detroit. He wants to, on the positive side, he says he will keep the Pistons in Michigan. He wants to move them out of the Palace of Auburn Hills into downtown Detroit and build a new arena for the Red Wings and the Pistons.
Uh-huh.
He would own the Palace as well out in Auburn Hills, which is about 40 minutes outside of the city of Detroit, 45 minutes, an hour when you're dealing with traffic and construction, which always seems to be going on the interstate. What are your thoughts on one man owning everything besides the NFL team in Detroit?
Well, I don't know if it counts in Toronto, but remember, MLS&E, they own the Leafs, the Raptors, and the Toronto FC.
Right.
Although I don't know if you'd put Toronto FC in the category of major league sports at this point. I mean, I think it's great. I mean, a city like Detroit that's really, really hurting, it's great to have a man like that who's willing to do what he can to save what it has. And I totally agree with bringing the Pistons downtown. I mean, Detroit needs infrastructure downtown. It just does. Any successful city, look at Toronto, has people living downtown. And until Detroit can get people living downtown, they're in big trouble. One way to get them downtown is give them a reason to be downtown. And that is a sports arena or, you know, neat restaurants, cafes. I mean, the baseball stadium's there, that Ford Field, which I don't like, is downtown. I understand. I think it's good. I think Mike Ilitch is a great citizen.
Well, Fred, and this is an example, too, of people who are driven to succeed and those of us who aren't. Mike Ilitch, at age 81, and I didn't know he was that old, still wanting to do business deals and buy new properties. Geez, at 81 years of age, if I had his money, I'd be sitting in my villa in St. Martin.
At 81, you'll be sitting in your own filth.
I am right now.
But here, hey Craigie, here's the deal, though. Why do you think, you know, he's 81, why do you think he's still doing deals? Because he's kept active. That's the key.
Yeah.
He gets up in the morning and he wants something to do. He's got to get the juices flowing. It's keeping him young.
I guess so.
There's a message in that, boy. You don't shut her down.
No, keep her going, Freddie.
Yeah, keep her going.
Which leads us to our next topic, that being death.
Yes.
We were talking about Greg Giraldo, you know, the comedian. He passed away recently.
Very funny man.
Yeah, yes. Very funny man. He passed away of, I don't know if it was a suicide or just an overdose.
I think
accidental.
Saying accidental overdose.
Accidental. Anyhow, so a bunch of comedians were at his wake, the likes of Chris Rock and others, and we were talking about having somebody like a Chris Rock do your eulogy and how funny and entertaining that might be to lighten the mood at a funeral. So we were discussing about who we would want to do our eulogies. If you could put it in your will, Fred, would there be a celebrity, someone that you would want to stand up and say something about you?
That's a great, great question. Probably my best stand-up bit ever, most favorite stand-up bit, was Eddie Murphy's Delirious.
Uh-huh.
So maybe a guy like Eddie Murphy getting up and, you know, going on a roll about me would be pretty cool.
Uh-huh, fun, yeah. Do you know, those are out on DVD now. I recently picked them up, both Delirious and Raw.
Oh, I'm telling you. I mean, the first 10 minutes of Delirious really has to be the most intense, side-splitting, wonderful, freaking comedy that I have ever seen performed by anyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he was only 21 years of age or something like that at the time.
Oh, it was, like, seriously, I remember the first time I saw that, like, I was in total awe. Like, I couldn't believe it. You know, and I liked Eddie Murphy and everything, but I had never really saw his stand-up, you know, his Raw stand-up that he would perform in nightclubs and everything. Uh-huh. He just saw the light stuff on television. But that, my friend, is just something else. So from that perspective, Eddie Murphy, and, you know, I always had a soft spot for someone like, get a load of this, dead people, Jackie Gleason and Lucille Ball.
Yeah,
yeah, sure.
Yeah. Why not, Freddie? Listen, they were classics.
Oh, they were.
I'd like,
you know, and I just love that style of humor, so maybe them. I don't know. I can't, geez. What about you guys?
Well, just being a 24 fan, I'd like Kiefer Sutherland to say something very tough about me.
A la Jack Bauer.
Pretend that I was a lot tougher than I actually was in real life.
Okay.
But it wouldn't be funny at all. I brought up the idea because seeing the name of Chris Rock being at the ceremony for Greg Giraldo, I think Chris Rock would just be hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, or Hank Moody, your pal from Californication. I'd go like a Keith Richards, but nobody would understand what he was saying.
Right.
Or, you know, you talk about dead people. What about Johnny Carson?
Yeah, Johnny Carson, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Very funny.
Or even Letterman or something.
Sure.
You know, it's funny, you know, and if you could sort of control what they said, I'd like, you know, somebody like Jenna Jameson to stand up and say that I was the one guy that she couldn't handle. What? What?
No. I like
That's
it.
That's a great idea, Freddie.
Right.
A man can dream big, really.
You know, I've had them all, but when it came to that Freddie B guy, look out, I just couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. I was on the shelf for a week.
You become the darkest entry in her diary ever.
Yeah. Wow, that, I took one look at that chubby little fat guy, and I thought, there's no way I'm going to do him. But then I held my nose, and I went through with it, and my goodness gracious me, what a cannon.
And on that note, Freddie P., CanadianThinker.com, always a pleasure.
Loving you, boys.